We bring in now Mark Cook, who's the editor-in-chief Pewter Report. Mark, you're on with Q and Scott. Thanks for joining us here on Raider Nation Radio today.
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing? Listen, Las Vegas, can you just wash your hands and wear a mask so we can have some football?
Amen, brother.
Everybody else, you know?
Tell them, Mark.
Amen, brother. I'm telling you what. That's what we've been going on about is just that, look, you know, do what you got to do. We understand that some people can get this thing and out of no fault of their own.
Right.
But the reports that we hear or what you're hearing is that some guys might have been up to shenanigans and not wearing their device and all this kind of stuff. So there you have it. But still, at some point, this game is going to be played. Of course, it's been moved to Sunday at 1 o'clock. I still believe that it'll be later. But nonetheless, we're looking at the game with you. And I wanted to start with offense because for the Raiders, the offense is going vertical. You have Henry Ruggs III. You have Nelson Aguilar, the veteran now who's joined this team. You have Hunter Renfrow in the slot. Of course, you have that vertical game for the Raiders has gotten better. It's gotten to be a big deal. But on the other side, with the Buccaneers, you have two second-year corners in Jameel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, and then, of course, you have Carlton Davis III over there. When you look at this matchup, the Raiders' rookie speed versus that young talent at corner for the Buccaneers, how do you see that coming out? Is that cornerback core settling in and finding the consistency that the Buccaneers need to win consistently?
Well, first of all, you know, I joked just as I came on a little bit. This COVID situation is serious. I just found out earlier this morning that a friend of mine's father, who's been battling it for the last 3 weeks, he succumbed to it this morning and passed away. It was a situation where, you know, he went out very rarely and wore a mask wherever he went and somehow still caught it. So, yeah. I was joking a little bit and giving Trent Brown and those guys a little bit of a hard time, but you can do all the right things, and sometimes, you know, it's going to get you. So anyway, my thoughts and prayers to everybody out there dealing with it. It's no fun. Back to football, of course. The cornerbacks have played really well for Tampa Bay, particularly Dean and Carlton Davis. This is an interesting matchup because there are three quality receivers that the Raiders have that the Buccaneers have not really faced a receiving core this strong. I mean, you go back to week one, you had Michael Thomas. Okay, that's fine. The Panthers aren't going to scare anybody with their receiving core. The Broncos, everybody was beat up on that team. Even the Chargers, you know, had a guy hurt. And the Bears have Allen Robinson, and that's essentially it. So this is definitely going to be their biggest test when it comes to that. However, how the Buccaneers are going to defend the receivers, I think, is getting after the quarterback. I mean, that's mm-hmm. been their most successful thing. I believe they're tied for first in the league in sacks this year. And getting after the quarterback and putting pressure on the quarterback, boy, this sure can make your cornerbacks look a lot better. And at the same time, lockdown corners can make your pass rush look better, right? Is it the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But you need both of them. Or at least one of them working very well if you're going to be able to win in the National Football League. So far, the Buccaneers have really seen that happen, particularly last week against Aaron Rodgers, when the cornerbacks played well, but the pass rush was just relentless. Todd Bowles was bringing guys from everywhere. In fact, at one point, there was a guy that was selling popcorn in the third row came out on a corner blitz. I mean, Todd Bowles is not afraid to send his grandmother, right, if he thinks she could get to the quarterback. So I think that's going to be the big key. Can the Raiders' offensive line, how many of them are they going to be? Who are they going to be? Are they going to be able to give Derek Carr time? If they do, then the Raiders can move the football probably. But if not, they could be in for a long day.
Mark, it's always good to catch up with you and talk with you, talk a little Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Antoine Winfield Jr., I've asked you about him multiple times, that rookie on the back end. How big has he been for Tampa Bay and that Todd Bowles defense?
Man, he's just so smart. He's just so smart, Q. I mean, and when you look at the pedigree he has, right, with his dad being a 14-year veteran, you know, you always worry about these kids whose dads want them to be ball players, right? You know, the Todd Marinovich syndrome type situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Antoine Winfield Sr. pushed him, but boy, could you find a better coach? I mean, you know, my kid came home from high school football practice, and I asked him how it was, and he said it was good. And I said, okay, you know, do good on Friday. I mean, I have a feeling that Senior probably had Junior out there doing drills with the headlights on after dark because he's that pro-ready. I mean, we're talking 2 inches away from this guy being a first-round draft pick. I mean, the only knock on this guy was his height because everything else was there, the ball skills, the speed, and certainly the intelligence and the understanding of the game of football. And I really truly believe a lot of that comes from having a dad who played in the NFL for 14 years. My dad did not play in the NFL for 14 years. Hence, my football career ended after my 11th grade season after I swung junior English. So, anyway.
We're with Mark Cook from PewterReport.com. And, Mark, we look at the offense for the Buccaneers. Of course, I know everybody wants to focus on Tom Brady, but I really think you look at Ali Marpet up front at guard, that offensive line is really nicely solidified. They've had their moments where it's maybe not been where Tom Brady wants it, but it seems like they've gotten into a rhythm with their quarterback, and the quarterback is getting more comfortable.
Yeah, and I think Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, are learning what works, right? I mean, you know, you can't expect Tom Brady to try and throw the ball 50 yards down the field, you know, with seven-step drops when you're going up against a guy like Khalil Mack. Unfortunately, they tried to do that a little too often in that Thursday night game and lost. Last week, you know, they took some deep shots, but Tom Brady was getting rid of the ball. You've got to know where your weaknesses are, and there are some weaknesses on the Buccaneers offensive line. Ali Marpet's not one of them. In fact, I wrote today in that column, one of my weekly columns, that to me, he's the unsung hero. He's the MVP of this offense because in six games, he has zero penalties and he's given up zero sacks. I think he's only given up three pressures the entire year. And here's the deal. Nobody knows about him. Well, I say that. I mean, Buccaneer fans know about him, but you don't hear his name called. And that's a good thing for the offensive linemen. When you don't hear their name called and forget they're even on the field, that means they're doing a heck of a job. And Ali Marpet has done a heck of a job. I think Ryan Jensen's played well. Alex Kappa has really turned himself around. Chris Wirfs occasionally has those rookie moments, but really, you look at some of the guys that he stopped this year, went up against. Cameron Jordan, no sacks. Joey Bosa, no sacks. I mean, he's played well for the most part and has really graded out well when you look at the scouting services, you know, that do those kind of gradings, take it with a grain of salt. But just the eyeball test tells me Tristan Wirfs is another home run draft pick by Jason Light in his front office, at least through the first six games.
You mentioned guys that are doing a good job for that Tampa Bay offense. How about Ronald Jones? How about Rojo? Three games in a row where he's over 100 yards. Is he starting to kind of shape into form? And maybe Leonard Fournette, the arrival of him, have kind of put a little bit of fire under his backside.
I think so. I think Ronald Jones was at a bit of a crossroads. He saw what happened with Peyton Barber, who was here before him, who, you know, was a good, really good guy, a good running back, but probably not a great running back. And they moved on. I mean, they drafted Ronald Jones, but they decided, you know, they weren't going to pay him. And I think Ronald Jones kind of looked at that and said, listen, I've got to do my part to be better than average. Because it took him 31 NFL games, well, it was his 32nd game when he finally got his first career 100-yard game, and that was in the season finale last year against Atlanta. He's had three in six games this year, including the three in a row that you mentioned. And adding Leonard Fournette probably gave him a little spark as well. But he also came into training camp about 8 pounds heavier. He put on a little bit of weight last year, and then he added another 8 pounds. But it hasn't slowed him down. It's made him a more physical runner. And I'll tell you, there's not a lot of silver linings when we're talking sports in COVID. But we've seen some guys transform their bodies, right? Because there really was nothing to do in the spring but work out. He couldn't really go anywhere. And so a guy like Ronald Jones, you know, put on some weight, added quite a bit of muscle. I mean, Jordan Whitehead looks completely different. There's some guys that transformed their bodies during that lockdown period. Again, I would trade those 8 pounds for not having COVID, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, if you're looking for any silver linings at all, it's that some of these players had some opportunities to do some self-reflection and get themselves in better shape and take the game more serious. And Ronald Jones has matured into a completely different football player than when he was a rookie, from his personality to his leadership and certainly his production on the field.
Yeah, well, this game will be, as whenever it's played, Mark, it'll be a good one. Of course, the Buccaneers leading the NFC in scoring thus far on the season as well. And we certainly appreciate you breaking it down for us. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, man. You guys stay well. Talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. Mark Cook from the Pewter Report. Great website that covers the Buccaneers. Really, really good guys there. And we're going to go out to Craig from Henderson. Get a call in here before the break.
What up, Craig?
Craig, what's up, man? How you doing today?
I actually had a question for Mark Cook. I'm a big fan of his on the Pewter Report.
I
want to see this. This is like a family reunion game for the Bucs and the Raiders. I mean, most of the staff for the Raiders was most of the Super Bowl staff. You got also some of those guys back now with the Bucs too, especially like Clyde Christensen and things like that. How much do you think the revenge factor on the Bucs side with the Glazers saying, hey, listen, we want to beat Gruden, and how much do you think Gruden say, listen, these are the guys that let me go. You know, how much motivation do you think he has on his side right now, too?
It's a good question. They asked him about it yesterday when Gruden did the media, and he just kind of, you know, poo-pooed it, said, look, we're worried about this game. And I got to be frank with you, with what's going on with the COVID situation, I don't know that the Raiders have any other thoughts unless just getting a team on the field, because with not knowing whether or not you're going to have it. But I think it's there. I mean, anytime you have an employer who fired you, in essence, and I know they honored him with the ring of honor and all that stuff, and he feels really great about that, and it kind of closed some of the wounds, you still have that little bit of motivation, right? You want to stick it to the guy who let you go, right, Q?
Yeah, you do. And it's something that's in the back of the mind and something that can push certain people. And like I said, I'm one of those cats that, any little motivation I can get, that's just going to push me a little bit more. But when it comes down to the game of football and you're trying to execute a game plan, that should be the last thing that you're thinking about. You need to be 100% focused on the task at hand. And I know that the coaching staff will be, but he brings up a great point. There's a lot of familiarity. I think we talked about that throughout the week, that it's, it's storyline on top of storyline. You got lines crossing each other's, there's a lot of familiarity, like you said, with this game.
There is. Yeah. Go ahead.
And one other thing too is, listen, I can understand if they're rescheduling. Obviously, COVID is the main issue. This work during a pandemic, and listen, things happen. I get it. This is a time that no one's ever gone through as an athlete, as us, as a society too. So that's first and foremost. Listen, for the Raiders' sake and for Carr's sake, if they have to postpone the game, I think that might be best for the Raiders in the long run, because that front seven, you don't want to have the backups up against that Bucs front seven,
right?
With Levante and White in the middle, and that D line gets off, and Todd Bowles, and you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. You open up the blitzes with him, and especially if it gets one dimensional, like last week against Green Bay. I think for a player safety perspective, they should postpone the game for a week or two.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they're going to try to move it at least a few days, but appreciate your call, man. Thank you so much. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a couple more calls, and then, of course, it's time for the Q-tip, which I'm really looking forward to today because we're all full of piss and vinegar. I love it. It is Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.